Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of times I don't even know there's going to be a part one, two, or three.
I will do the research. The Most High will have me give me the scriptures concerning it. And then I sort of just let him take over. So I don't always finish all of the scriptures that I have on a particular subject. On this morning, we're looking at pure religion as it concerns our service to the Most High. And how we serve him is by finding out what pleases him. And so we're going to continue in that vein on this evening, because he says, this is what I want. This is what I require. This is what's mandatory. What's required is mandatory. And what's required is the minimum. It's the minimum standard. So to equate it to us getting a job and then saying, oh, we deserve a raise because we showed up for work. Yeah, that's the minimum you're supposed to do. And the Most High gave us this requirement. It's the minimum that he requires of us. We have to genuinely have fear of him. And, you know, the more that we talk about the fear of the Most High, and the more places that I visit, you know, other chat rooms and things that I go in that I have some old friends and stuff, and I bring up the fear of the Most High, it's almost like, you know, I mean, the Hebrews, like they ain't heard it before either. I'm like, good grief. I know the church is not teaching, but a lot of our brothers and sisters haven't heard this either. So how can you be, you know, one or two people might be, you know, of that understanding, and the rest of them are really still stuck in what I like to frame as, you know, the Christian doctrine. You know, and they are Hebrew Israelites, but, you know, they're still coming with that mindset. And there are some things about that mindset that are good. There's some things about that mindset that are bad. So it's not kind of surprising to me that when the Most High wakes us up, that he doesn't also give us the mind and show us in the scriptures. I mean, when he wakes you up, one of the first things, if you're really reading and studying the scriptures, you read in Ecclesiastes, you know, the fear of Yah is the beginning of all wisdom. You know, fear Yah and keep his commandments. But the beginning of all wisdom. You can't even say you got wisdom until you fear him. You can't even say you know anything until you fear him. Because your knowing is going to be from a wrong, it's going to be filtered through the wrong filter. And so as we, you know, get into this and we understand even doing the things that he has called us to do, we do them because out of the fear of him. That's the first commandment, really. Hear, O Israel, this is what I require of thee. The first thing wasn't to love him. Wasn't to keep his commandments. It was to fear him. So we have to always keep that before us. The fear of him. The fear of him. The fear of him. Because that's what's going to make sure if we honestly and truly have a healthy fear of the Most High Elohim, there is nothing that you cannot stop doing if you're sinning. Because all you got to do is tell yourself, do I love this more than I love the Most High? Whatever it is, I don't care what it is. If you put it in that vein, in that light, in your life, do I love this thing, whatever it is, more than I love the Most High? Do I fear this thing or respect this thing or want this thing more than I fear the Most High? It should change our whole outset. And like I said, then when we look at, again, drumming this into us, when we look at who we are, his children, and what he has promised us, those two things alone should give you the strength, the courage to overcome anything if you live, if you walk into them, if you step into them, if you believe them with your whole heart. Most High, I'm not going to want a beer more than I fear you, because I know when I drink this beer, I'm going to have two or three or four or whatever. and I end up getting inebriated, then I don't want to go against your word. So I fear you more than I want this beer or I want this joint or this cigarette or this man or this woman. I fear you more than that. It's perspective, and we have to have the proper perspective. I'm learning to even properly interpret scriptures, because we're looking through it through a bad filter. If we're not looking at the scriptures through the fear of the Most High Elohim, we're going to interpret a lot of things differently. We're going to put ourselves, our wants, and our needs into those verses and filter and interpret from that standpoint. So we got to understand that the basis, the bottom line, the basis for everything, the fear of the Most High. Because that's the beginning of all wisdom, to fear him. Got to drum that into people. Got to keep drumming it into everybody. Because this is something that, I don't know, it just seems like either people have not heard it, or they don't get it, or they don't want to get it. I don't know which one it is yet. Maybe the Most High has blinders on us. And we can't see it. We read it, we still can't see it. I don't know. I just know that I find this way too much in the scriptures. And when we interpret from this standpoint, the scriptures, they become also much clearer. So let us do our statement of faith. Well, before we do that, before we jump into this, also remember on the 9th of the month is the new moon. Tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, I've already sent out, what we're going to be talking about in the spiritual wellness class. We're going to continue in how are the children. Many verses in the scriptures on how we should be treating our children. We have to bring it back to a good understanding in y'all. But I also sent out some documents with that email that, are sample documents that you can use, that you can print off to do your list of people that have had an influence in your life, relatives that have had an influence in other people. And also your, what it calls your genome, which is, that's really your family. And who in your family had whatever influences in your life. And you use that document. It has kind of a legend to it. And so you can, annotate on it. Because we'll be using it throughout this series of getting well. Okay. Now, that being said, let us blow the shofar, as the Most High said. Let us summon our Elohim, his presence to be with us. Ladies, cover your head. Men, uncover your head. Amen. Come, Yah Elohim. Be amongst your people, Father. Let it be you that we hear from. Our statement of faith. Let me have every good body go ahead and face toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of God according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe in one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah, and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. This afternoon, this evening, hallelujah, thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah, thank you, God. Thank you, Father, hallelujah. Father, we give you our hands up and praise you. We worship you with our mouths, hallelujah. From the bottom of our hearts, hallelujah, we just glorify you, Father. We glorify you. Hallelujah, we extol thee. Hallelujah, we extol thee. We lift thee up. We place you as the highest thing in our lives, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread, and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people will keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you, as you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent of our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. We are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we will not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn your eyes and your ears towards your people now. Hear our supplications and our prayers. Deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Father, we have prepared a place for here for you tonight. Let it be you we hear from and not Brother Miles. Let Brother Miles decrease and you increase. In Yeshua HaMashiach, express his name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. Starting in verse 46. If they Israel sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgression wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thy inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless you through the reading, the hearing, the understanding of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. The Elohim we serve, he deserves all our devotion. He deserves all our time. He deserves our whole. If we shall return to him with our whole heart.
I do it for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Yeah.
to the book of John, chapter 15. The book of John, chapter 15, because we're looking at that pure religion, that pure service to the Most High. Religion is, as the scripture defines it, is really about service to our fellow man. And we find out how we're supposed to serve our fellow man by what the Most High says pleases him. You know, so we can't make it up, you know, we can't make it up what we want to do. First, we got to meet his requirements. Sometimes we hear and we see things, and the Most High sort of warned us against this, about seeing things that other people may be doing and how they worship their God. Because they may not be worshiping the same God you're worshiping. And then we look at it and say, oh, that looks like a good thing to do. I'll do it to the Most High. He says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't treat me, worship me how they worship their Elohim. Don't call me what they call their Elohim. That's why, you know, it's really important that we search out the Most High for what he reveals to us as his real name, his true name. Because he says, don't call me anything that they call their Elohim. And, you know, you sort of have to look at it like a relationship that you may have, you know, in this world with somebody. And they have a nickname. And you had a nickname, let's say you've been with somebody else. And you had a nickname. Let's just put it this way. I'm going to say it like this. You were in a relationship. You were married. You had a nickname for your husband. Your husband died or your wife died and you remarried. And you used that same nickname for your new spouse. You know, it's kind of personal. And the Most High says, yeah, I don't want you doing that to me. I don't want you calling me anything that you call another God. So we have to understand that he's very strict and implicit about how he wants us to serve him. He says in the book of John, chapter 15, starting in verse 12, this is my commandment. Not a suggestion, that you love one another. You want to serve me well? Love one another. As I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this. Here is the epitome of it. Here is the highest standard of it. That a man lay down his life for his friend. You can't give any more than that. Your life. And I talk about serving somebody, I'm talking about literally giving your life. You died for them. This is the kind of love that the Most High said that a man is supposed to have for his wife, that he's willing to lay down his life for his wife. Today we got a lot of brothers be running behind, getting behind their sisters. You go check out the door. I ain't dying for you. I mean, just crazy. But this is the highest expression of that love, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. This is a commandment. Love one another. Up until the point that, hey, you might be required at some point, especially in these days, you know, we never know what the Most High calls us to. We just have to know that we believe that he is going to raise us back up on the last day. And that we fear him and we know that his word is true. We believe what we read. That's what we have to know. Our faith has to be in him. And so if he requires our life, that's why I say this, if he requires our life, just like when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, that's not the God that we serve. And the Most High told us, hey, don't be sacrificing your children. So when he calls for Abraham to do this, Abraham, it's to test Abraham's faith. Are you willing to give your only begotten son to me? If you ask for him. But he also had to know that and believe that the Most High would be able to raise Isaac back up, that he wouldn't leave him wounded like that. You know, you got to have some faith. Most times you require my son. You told me that through him all the nations will be blessed. You tell me to kill him, that there's got to be a way for you to give him back to me. I believe that. We got to have that type of faith. And that's why he said Abraham didn't even question. He just believed Elohim, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. We got to have that same kind of faith. We got to have that same kind of faith to love one another, to genuinely care about one another. Not just care, because care is a level of love. But to actually truly love you. I can care about you, but not be willing to give my life for you. But then I have to love you in a way that I would be willing to give my life for you if it was called for. That's a different level of love. That's a different level of care. And so this is what he calls it. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. He commands us to love one another. You know, we got on this morning about us not being able to come together, not being able to trust one another, judging us each other by our skin color. If we are lighter, then we're better. If we're darker, then we're worse. If we got straight hair, we're better. If we got nappy hair, we're worse. We all kind of things that we use to judge each other. Those things have to go away. You have to see a person, a human being. You have to understand that in the Most High's eyes, we all have worth and value. Even if we are going through, we have worth and value. You know, can you imagine? Imagine this. I wonder what Messiah was doing in that garden crying, sweating and crying tears, knowing what was coming up, and knowing nobody believed him. I come to die, to make the ultimate sacrifice for you out of love, and you hate me, and still being obedient to that. We read that this morning, that when we were unthankful, he goes, you know, loan to people and don't worry about whether they give it back or whether they're thankful to you or not. We weren't even thankful to the Most High for Messiah, our forefathers. And so him knowing that, could you imagine the torment he went through? For these hard-headed Hebrews? I'm here for their good, and all they can do is wish me evil. And he lays down his life, makes the ultimate sacrifice. He says, now I want you to love each other like that. Love each other like I loved you. When you yet still hated me, when they still hate you, still be willing to serve and lay down your life for them. See, I won't say that. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 8. Let me get the verse real quick. Or I'll read it to you. Romans chapter 8, what verse am I looking for? Give me a hot second here. I don't know what verse this, I'm looking for a particular word that lines up with this. Not just the word, but the entire subject. Let me do it this way. Hey, please, I can't even spell right now. Okay, if I can find it like this in this chapter, go there quickly. Because we, you know, when we read this stuff, we got to understand what it's saying really to us. And accept it, that we may be called upon for this book. We are in Romans. Drop down to Romans chapter 8, verse 17. The book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. And can I also get a mic check? If you can hear me okay, just press the number 1. So I had somebody complain yesterday that they were not able to hear me. I don't know if you're hearing me clearly if nobody tells me. So if you can hear me clearly, if you just press the number 1, I won't, you know, open up your phone or anything. It just lets me know that you can hear me. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. All right. Amen. Romans chapter 8. And verse 17. And if children, now this is talking about us being heirs of the Most High, and if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. How did Messiah suffer? He was chastised, he was buffeted, he was beat. He was stabbed with a spear. He was nailed through his hands and his feet. He was killed, ultimately, humiliated. Which one of those sufferings do you want to go through? So we have to suffer with him. And so he says, the way that he suffered, he paid the ultimate sacrifice. Laid down his life for his friends, for his subjects, for those that he's going to have rulership over, for those that he's going to command. You want to be in my ranks? You have to have gone through what I went through. You want to rule with me? You have to have gone through what I went through. I mean, it lines up with Revelation. But the Most High wants us to have that heart. You may not be ever called on to do this. But if you are called on, then you know what your reward is. That this is how we practice our religion, by doing what the Most High requires of us. This is how we have pure religion. Taking care of the fathers, the widows, and the homeless. Keeping ourselves unspotted from the world and obeying the Most High, and be willing to suffer for his behalf. The scriptures, they line up perfectly all over the place. You know, we want something for nothing. But, you know, he's very clear. Fear me. And when I call on you, be prepared to serve me the way that I require of you. We got to know that he has something better for us. We have to know that. Because if we just believe it, it may not be enough. I see a lot of people when I'm witnessing to people. And, you know, it's hard for people to argue against this stuff, but that don't mean that they accept it. They can't argue against it, but that don't mean that they accept it. And I just find it, you know, it just amazes me how we really, really just want to give the Most High what we want to give. They say that should be sufficient. They say, what if that ain't what I want? You're like, oh, well, that's what you're going to get. He says, oh, well, we'll get in the lake. Oh, wait a minute. Let me reconsider. No, too late. Love one another. With genuine love, are you okay? Do you need anything? Are you struggling? And we have to be able to put pride away. As I said this morning, you got to be able to put pride away, because a lot of us wouldn't ask for help, even if we needed it, probably because we don't we're too prideful. We have to love one another, especially in this body. Can't say that we love one another and see one another in need and don't see to our loved one's need, our brother and our sister's need. If he tells us to do it for an enemy, how much more should we be doing it for each other? We're walking the same walk, talking the same talk, living the same life, striving for the same things that we don't do for one another. It's, you know, like I said this morning, it is, it's like we don't really, how can we love one another when we find all kind of different ways not to love one another? And how can we love one another without expectation? Because, see, that's a lot of times when people want to give their love, they have an expectation of getting something in return. But he told us to lend, and that lending is like also equating to loving without expectation. And he would be paid. Same concept. Especially one toward another. Let's move on. Let us go to the book of, let's see where I'm at here, Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. Verses 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Let's look up this word, dissimulation. Romans chapter 12, verses 9. And this word, dissimulation. And pull up my dictionary and then my book word as well as in the Greek. It's sort of like a phrase, it's not really a word. And okapokritos. And okapokritos. Any pokritos, yes. And presumed derivative. Undissembled, sincere. Without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, or without being seen. Honesty. Unseen love. That's what that word dissimulation means. Unseen, sincere. So let love be with sincerity. Dissimulation would be the opposite of sincerity. Without dissimulation or with sincerity. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. That means that I as a man or you as a woman should be able to love me without having a physical attraction. And be honestly just love, brotherly love. I'm not having feelings for you or saying that I, you know, have affection towards you, but my true desire is I have a physical attraction to you. For a lot of men, and I'm going to say this, brothers can get mad if they want, for a lot of men, they can't like unless there's a physical attraction there. And most of the time, they are accepting friendship only because that's all that they can get out of you. But they're hoping that you're going to have a change of heart at some time or another. So, yeah, I'll be your friend right now, but truth of the matter is I want more. And you're not willing to give more right now, so I'll be your friend. That is not genuine. That is loving with what? An ulterior motive. That's loving with an ulterior motive. And the Most High says, no, let it be brotherly, meaning that I should truly see you as my sister. I don't have a sexual attraction toward any of my sisters. They're my blood sisters. It would never come across my mind, oh, let me sleep with my sister. No, that's not me, at least. I know that has to happen in some families, but no. My sister is my sister. She could be butt naked in front of me. She's my sister. But for a lot of men, that's not the case. And that's the problem with the relationship. Can't be a friend. And there was one time, I have to admit it, there was one time in my life I was that way. That's why I come, I know. And I talk to brothers, I know. I was that way. What I was taught. So I want the ladies to understand that, so I put it back on you because you're ultimately in charge of the good. If the brother is being friendly with you, then you have to understand and know. You have to really learn, where is he coming from? Is he just being my friend because that's all I'm going to give up? Is a friendship, but he's hoping he can get more? That's not genuine. And the Most I had to deal with me on that. I'm a living testimony. I'm a living testimony to that. And Yah had to bring me out of it. So that I can look at you as my blood sister. My spiritual sister, I can look at you like my blood sister. I don't have no attraction like that for my blood sister. And so if I can look at you from that standpoint, then we don't have anything that's unseen. We don't have anything that's seen. Like I'm pretending to be your friend, but you know, if you slip, if you open the door, you give me a crack. We have so many things that start that way. I don't care if it's in the natural world or whether it's in the body. You have to be on guard for that. You have to be on guard for that. But if you got the same nature, then you have to also fess that up to the Most High. But, you know, like I said, this ain't always just the man. But I know that a lot of brothers are that way. Have a hard time just being a friend with a woman. That's just friendship. For which one of y'all? One of y'all want more than the other. And it's been decided that, no, ain't nothing happening here, so yeah, we'll be friends. But deep down inside, there's that desire for something more. And so y'all have to deliver us out of that so that we can have love unseen one to another. We don't go to a prayer meeting and end up in bed. Because I've seen that too. I've never done it, but I've seen it. So how did that happen? Ulterior motives. And it corrupts. It corrupts absolutely both people. You know, and when we do the series on men, I don't have a problem bringing those things up because it's what we battle against. Is this every man? No. The vast majority of them, though, I've talked to too many. See you as my blood sister, my spiritual sister. I have to look at you the same way I would look at my blood sister. And that keeps us both straight. Let's continue. Be kindly affectionate one toward another. You know, a lot of men have a problem with another man hugging their wife, especially in the body. You don't hug my wife. That is an insecure man. But then if you've given him reason to be insecure, because, see, we're supposed to be able to give each other affectionate non-sexual hug. And when we are insecure or we are pretending, we have, you know, we got this nature in us when we get close to somebody. We start getting lustful feelings. That's a problem within ourselves. That means that that spirit of lust is in you. And until you are in the proper relationship, you know, you can be attracted to somebody, but it can't go to the level of lust, because then you start conceiving in your mind, what if? I wonder how. All these questions. And then a lot of the sisters be like, what's wrong with me? How come you don't feel that way about me? Come on now. Because we know, let's be truthful, a lot of times women are in competition with one another. What she got on me? The ways of the world. And those things creep in. So if you got a brother that ain't walking all that, you know, the one who is, I'm going to tell you the truth, the one who would be upset by this, you really need to look at them. Why is it that you are afraid of somebody hugging your wife in a friendly way? Because when you do it, you got certain thoughts. When you hug somebody else's wife, you can't see her as just a sister, a friendly hug. We get caught up, but because that thing is in us, we get caught up with it. If something is innocent, it's innocent. But for some people, it ain't innocent because they got this spirit in them. And if it's the woman and she's looking for attention, and I've seen that too, you know, I don't know, I can't be hugging you. This is you pressing up into me a little bit too hard. This has gone beyond that point. So, you know, everybody has to be honest. Brotherly love. Preferring one another to our honesty, to our good. But we get so wrapped up in sexual things, in erotica. And sometimes, yeah, you just have to stay away from it. Because especially when people have denied themselves, have gone without, they are single, they used to be with somebody so they know what they're missing. Just be real. You may maybe not have to hug her, because I've heard some women say something. I'm like, wow, sister. You are in bad shape. And they're trying to be good, but trust me, this flesh ain't no joke. And so this brotherly love, and this preferring one another, and some people, some hunters, when they put it that way, got these hunting spirits. The brother ain't about, you know, it don't matter if you're a woman or God. That's how all this stuff creeps up in the church, in the body, because people try to take advantage of it. But we got to know what we're up against. So trust me, I'm going to always look at you like I look at my blood sister. Keeps me safe. We'll put you at that level. Because other than that, we might be looking for trouble. And even when the men are in the congregation, you know, teaching the same way, I'm looking at you. I'll be looking at them. As the head shepherd, I'm supposed to be on guard for all that stuff. And you can tell when that spirit comes in. I can look at a brother or a sister. Oh, wait a minute. Let me keep an eye on this one. Without them knowing, I'm keeping an eye on them. Why? Because I see that spirit. If every woman that walks by, he's looking at her behind, I know he's got that spirit. If every man that walks by, she's checking, I know she's got that spirit. So we have to be on guard for those things because they will be in the body. You know, I promise you, if we ever get to meet and have a congregation like that, yes, I will be on guard for all that stuff. It's my job to keep us safe, keep you safe, keep me safe, keep them safe, to have genuine love one for another. But don't let this loneliness, the spirit of loneliness, cause you to get into something that you ought not be getting into. Cause you to feel a certain way that you don't want that more than you fear the Most High Elohim. That's why that genuine fear of the Most High has to be there, so that we won't do that, because you will do it. Seen it too many times. We want our walk. We want to perfect our walk. We want it to be pure before the Most High. And if we start letting our feelings, those feelings of loneliness, those feelings of missed sexual gratification, we start letting those things creep in. We start seeing things that, and looking at things we ought not look at, that only feed into it. Then, yeah, you're going to fall. It's just that simple. It has to be the fear of the Most High that keeps us from it. You got to fear him more than you want satisfaction. You got to fear him more than you want. So you got to let him feel that loneliness. But, you know, the Most High is not crazy. That's why he says, don't let a woman come into the ministry until she's 66 years old. I know you sisters want to be in the ministry, but the scripture says you can't do it until you're 66. What I do between all that time between now, perfect your walk. The Most High knows how our bodies act, how they react. So you can't say you committed to me and then you still want a man. So we got to understand this thing that we have to have the right lens is on, and our fear has to be of the Most High. And truly of him. Not, you know, we playing like we fear him. Because I'm going to tell you now, straight up, with us knowing that we're supposed to fear the Most High Elohim, and that anything that we do outside of this, that we come up short, trust. My response going to be to you is, you don't fear the Most High enough. That's just the bottom line. You're not going to play with it. You want that more than you fear the Most High. Just that simple. You want to work that thing out, then you need to genuinely come up with more fear. Fear of where you're going to end up at. Then you want that. That's why, you know, I just see it more and more and more that we have to straighten out relationships, and we have to come to terms with relationships, because it gets us in trouble that we end up, we're not going to make it. We're just not going to make it if we don't come to terms with them. And fear the Most High. You know what? Not what I wanted, but it's my situation. I need to fear the Most High. That's the bottom line. So, you know, when, like I say, am I saying it's going to be easy? No. But I know this. I know for me, can't speak for anybody else. But I don't want nobody killing me that way. I fear the Most High, and I don't want him to kill me and throw me in the lake because of that. For 5, 10, 30 minutes of pleasure. When somebody ain't got no business dealing with at all. You're a child of the Most High. And I'm going to, like I said, even when I was in the world, I wouldn't mess with church women. How am I going to be in an office and then mess with the women? That's like the sons of Eli. That's how we get these pastors sleeping with women at the church. I mean, you go out on YouTube and see all this crazy stuff. You say, how in the world do they get there because of this stuff? It's a wicked spirit. So it has to be unseen. It has to be sincere. Has to be genuine. And this is what we suffer with today. All over the place. I don't understand. Our brother could say he loved the Most High. Or sister. And then find ourselves in these positions. Do you really love him? Do you really fear him? Was the sexual gratification so good, so needy that you would disregard where to put you at? Oh, this was worth going to the lake. Yeah, and I'm being hard with this because this is common. Common. Got a lot of wolves in sheep clothing. Got to know what we're up against, and it don't have, and it don't have an age on it. You know, even at 66, that you're more apt not to, but it's not really an age on this thing. It's individualistic. You got women out there 80 years old still trying to be active. Still active, not trying to be still or active. Not an age on them. But we got to understand that in order to come into the ministry, the scripture says you got to be 66 years old. You can desire to be. You got a lot, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering about a lot of things that I see out there. Just stick with the scripture. Now, a lot of female pastors that ain't 66 years old. Got a lot of women in ministry. You can be in ministry, but certain parts of it. There's to do all things decent anymore. And in order to do that, we have to understand what the scriptures say concerning our service to the Most High, so that we can, our religion can be pure. Our service can be pure. The book of 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. Goes back to our service to our brothers and our sisters. And the Most High says, whatever you give, he will give back to you. But you also want to give of your abundance. Don't go and give, and then you give, and now you need. That's foolishness. You gave and you put yourself in the position where now somebody needs to come by and bless you. Trust me, if that person was Most High really meant for that person to be blessed and you're not able to do it, he will send somebody else. If you want to split what you have, you know, don't put yourself in a position where, as I said, you give your house note, now you're looking at being on the street. Not what the Most High is asking you to do. He says, out of your abundance, if you have more than you need, then give to somebody who lacks. I'm not telling you to be crazy. Second Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He's talking about sowing. He's talking about sowing into the kingdom, sowing into your brother and your sister. He's talking about paying your tithe. To see, this giving to our brother and our sister, this was a commandment above and beyond the tithe. Above and beyond the tithe. And I might have to reteach that so that we can see. Tithe is not yours to give to whomever you want to give it to or to use for whatever reason you want to use it for. We have to do this thing in truth, in spirit and in truth. And a lot of people, because they made the money, rightfully so, they want to do with it what they want to do with it. Can't do that with the Most High. Because the tenth is holy to him. Now, after you pay your tithes, you want to reap? You want to sow? What do you want to sow? Out of your abundance. Your tithe is not part of your abundance. It belongs to the Most High. You have to do these things decently and in order. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed. I told you going for tithes and offerings, for your offering. The tithe is the Most High. It belongs to him. He says, bring it to my storehouse. It ain't yours to do with what you want to do. Your offering says how you feel about the Most High. How you feel about it. That means that you have to purpose. You have to sit down and say, this I'm going to purpose for the Most High this year. This I'm going to purpose for the kingdom this year. I don't think you can find in the scriptures where you can take your even your offering and give it to somebody else. Your offering is supposed to go to the Most High. But I hear people, you know, like I said, I'm in all kind of rooms all the time and having these discussions with the saints. And what I hear, you know, people's opinion and what they feel about it, what they think. I'm like, where are you getting that from? Show me in the scriptures where you got that from. Well, it's just how I feel. Oh, that's what I thought. Because you can't show me that. I know you can't. I said, you want to sow into the Most High? How are you going to sow with what the Most High said you took from him? You stole it from him. That's what he said. You robbed me in tithes and offerings. Well, I gave it to them, but I didn't tell you to give it to them. I told you to bring it to me that there might be meat in my storehouse. And I will bless you. Now, out of the stuff that I bless you, out of your abundance, where do you want to reap at? Where do you want to sow at? Every man according as he purposed in his heart. You got to sit down with the Most High and say, this is what I'm purposing to give to you, to do for the saints. So let him give, not grudging you. I really don't want to do this, but I know I have a requirement to do it, but I really don't want to do it. And the Most High said, don't do it. Don't give it to me. I don't want it. Not grudging or of necessity because you need something. We want our giving to be what? Pure. In accordance with the way the Most High wants us to give, not in how we feel about it. A lot of times we have to move self out of the way. Because self gets us in trouble. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For Elohim loves a cheerful giver. You give it because you want to give it. And if you don't want to give it, he say don't give it. Because he don't want it. He also ain't going to bless you either. All the things that he says concerning this will not happen to you. And Elohim is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things. May abound to every good work. You want to do good works? He says, I will give you what you need to do those works and still have all sufficiency that you are taken care of. That's why I say, don't be going and saying, oh, I'm going to give. I know my rent is due. And Sister So-and-so, I know that they need, let me go give. You don't really, you're not in that position. God's going to have to take care of them another way. Because you don't have all sufficiency. If you give and now you're wondering how you're going to pay your rent. Oh, here's a late notice. It's 30 days later. Second late notice. Because you got behind and you're not making enough to catch up. That's how most of us get into trouble. You're not making enough to catch up. Then if that's going on, then you really need to look at how are you treating the Most High, to be honest with you. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing by Him? Or are you doing it when it's convenient? Here, He has to get, and He will bless you. And He says, you know what? You'll have favor. And I will make sure that you have what? All sufficiency. I hear way too many of us having to borrow money to get by. We have a slight hiccup, and we are out of whack. We are in trouble. And I'm just being honest with you, okay? I've been there. Been there, just over broke all the time. Something come up, get behind and can't catch up. Take you months or years, or you start getting into those minimum payment type of scenarios. Let me make a minimum payment, but the interest rate is eating you alive. Something that should have taken you really 90 days to pay off, taking you 5 or 6 years to pay it off. In the meantime, it was supposed to cost you $1,000. Now it's cost you $4,000 in interest payments. But it allowed me to have it. Yeah, but you weren't willing to really just suffer a little bit and get it for the best price that you had. You wouldn't be in a good steward. And I know people that swear by minimum payments. I'm like, did you check out, if you keep that loan for that long, how much you're going to be paying? Did you even consider? Yeah, but this is how my money runs. No, that's how you're making your money run. But we make bad decisions because we want what we want. But you need to purpose with the Most High. You have to always give the Most High His, period. You have to fear Him because He says, hey, this is mine. If you don't fear Him, you're not going to do it. Trust me. You're going to figure out a way. It all comes back to the fear of Him. And all we got to do is look at our own actions. Do we really fear Him? Because that's His. Well, I'm saying it to you, Brother Miles. I know, but you're really not. That's why I don't ever ask. whether you are or not. It was not me that you're not sending it to me. You're sending it to the Most High, trust me. But you have the purpose. How do you want to bless someone? You don't just come up out of on the spare the moment, let me do this. It's not what the Most High wants. It's not a perfect and a pure service to Him. We don't want you to put yourself in distress. You know what? I provided that, made you, and made it where you had your house note, you had your electric bill. And for whatever the reason, you chose to give it to somebody else. And now you got this burden on you. Self-made. You got this injury that is self-inflicted. Do what the Most High says. Purpose in your heart that you're going to pay in this tithe, and then purpose what you want to give Him for an offering. And then out of what He blesses you with, if He only blessed you with $100 in abundance and you want to do something with that, then do something with that. But don't take your house note or your car note or your insurance. That's foolishness. So let's keep it real. We want to serve Him in the spirit, and in truth. And we want our service to be pure, where we can serve Him unfeigned, where we can serve Him without feeling guilt, where we can serve Him and know that He is with us. And in all this, it goes back to the what? Fear of Him. And we can't be saying, I fear God, but can't but that. And you know that's what we're going to do. But that's a, you know what I call that? I call that a goat spirit. You're not a sheep, you're a goat. You like the but. Play on words. But that's a goat spirit. But. If you do these things deeply in order, I promise you from the Most High, you won't have these things, none of these things to worry about. Everything will work out in your favor. Always. Even if you've got to go through a little trial and testing, it's still going to always work out. He's going to always make sure. Galatians chapter 6. The book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. I don't know you're going through, I can't help you. If I don't have it, I can't help you. Trust me, if you call me and I really don't have it, I'm not going to put myself in a position, can't make my house know. Can't pay my electric bill, because you know you don't have AC in Arizona in the summertime, and my AC bill runs about $1,100 a month in the summer alone. There's certain things that, you know, I have to actually watch out for. It's just built in. Where the Most High blesses me in my abundance, yes, I will help anybody and everybody. And I've done it. So we have to help each other and bear each other's burdens. But we also have to be real with each other. If I came to you and I borrowed money and I know you need your money, you say, yeah, I got it, but I need it. I get it back to you by this date. Okay, I can work with that. Okay, and then by that date, they don't have it back to you. That's another problem of its own. I've had people to do that too. When I had my own company, I got $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in the bank. Wasn't my money. It was money that was given to me to buy products and things for other companies. Was it in my account? Yes. Did I have some profit out of it? Yes. But all of that money wasn't mine. And I have people come and say, hey, I need to borrow so-and-so. I don't have it. But you just got this check. I know what I got. I hate that I told you that I got it. But it ain't mine. And I can't give it to you. And you promised that you'll have it back by this day. Because if you don't, what am I going to do? So we can't play with stuff like that. You have to keep it real. Now, out of my abundance, whatever I had extra, that's what the Most High said, out of your abundance. He didn't say out of your need. Now, out of what you need, he said out of your abundance. We got to keep these things straight. So if out of my abundance I can bless you, then I'll bless you. And if you get it back to me, fine. If you can't, fine. I'm not going to come after you. Hey, when are you going to pay that back? Because I gave it to you out of my abundance. Yah has already probably given it back to me. More than what I gave you. But he's not telling us to be foolish. And I don't want you to be foolish. And I don't want you to try to do anything to look big or to, you know, speak the praise of men or women. We want to serve the Most High from a pure heart, from a pure service, that we're not doing stuff crazy and then trying to blame the Most High for it when we're doing what is right in our own eyes. Pure religion, pure service. Most High said, oh, you only got one coat? Give it to that man that don't have one. That's not what he told you. He said, give them a coat if you got two out of your abundance. You know, I'll give you the shirt off my back. If you do, and it gets cold and you freeze to death, whose fault was that? You know, you can have a giving spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. But you also have to give how you're able to give. And if we read these scriptures correctly, he said, hey, out of your abundance. So when the Most High blesses you with a million, and it only takes you 100,000 to live every year, you should be blessing out of your million. That's your abundance. If he blesses you that way, that's why when I say if the Most High gives me a million or he gives me 5 million or whatever, trust, we're going to all be blessed, not just Brother Miles. As the Most High allows us, we have to do it. You know, so some people don't believe that. They won't believe until they see it. And that's okay. I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that. I really am. But I pray to Most High that he does it so that once people see it done, that they get that same spirit. Because the Most High can bless all of us. And if we are not of the mindset that he's just blessing me, then we are all blessed. I already know, yeah, there are going to be some people who will say, oh, That brother or that sister, they're just out for themselves. Let y'all handle that. Just love them to death. Trust me. Guilt kills more people than a little bit. Guilt. You know you did wrong, and people still loving on you? Trust me. Guilt will kill a person. Just do what the Most High says to do. Bear ye one another's burden. Have all things in common. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind that each esteem the other better than themselves. Pure religion. The Most High says, I always want you to care about others, those in your life, those that are your brothers and your sisters. Esteem them higher than you esteem yourself. Always be looking out for their good first. If we were all looking out for each other's good first, none of us would be trying to take advantage of the other. How can I be looking out for your good, taking advantage of you? Let not every man own his own thing. Let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look not every man on his own things. Let me put my glasses on. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I know what my needs are. What are yours? I got a little bit extra over here. What do you need help with? This is the mentality the Most High wants us to have toward one another. We have a hard time having that mentality toward our blood family. I know we're going to struggle with this with the saints. We struggle with it with our own blood. Or they don't want to work. They won't get up in the morning. Then the Most High says, if they don't work, they don't what? Eat. We ain't got to feel ashamed about that. If the brother or the sister truly ain't trying to do, Most High says, well, you truly ain't got to take care of. He that won't work, he don't eat. And you ain't got to feel ashamed about it or guilty about it. He says, be real with it. This is pure. This is simple. This is honest. Now, if the brother or the sister is sick and laid up and they really can't go to work and you know that, then you should open your hands wide. This is what I can afford to give. This is as wide as my hands open. Out of your abundance. I know that brother, you know what? He got hurt in an accident. He can't really work. Not right now. And what the city is giving him or whoever, the insurance is giving him for, you know, this payment to keep up with the bills, it's not really enough. Because, you know, they really don't be giving you enough. Let me see if I can step into the gap. I can step into the gap for this amount of time. We might need somebody else to step into the gap to do something else. This is what he's talking about, us having love for one another, unfeigned, from a pure heart. If somebody's not walking correctly and they are just, you know, they're being a user, trust me, it will show up. It will show up and rather really quickly. Yes, There are people out there that run games. They can run the game until they can't. And the Most High says, you know what? You were doing it from a pure heart. You were giving it out of your abundance. They were running the game. I'm still going to pay you back. But woe unto that person. My fear of Elohim is greater than my fear of you taking advantage of me. Trust me. And then the Most High didn't raise a fool. I don't think he raised either any of us in here as fools. Hebrews chapter 13, the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. If we're not communicating with one another, we don't know what's going on with one another. If we got that busybody mouth that we're telling on everybody, then nobody's going to want to communicate with us. We got to have some integrity about ourselves. We got to know that we genuinely care one for another. So if I tell you this, you're not going to be going out trying to make me look bad or shame me. Or trying to make yourself look big because, oh, I did this. It's not love. And that's why the reason a lot of us don't ask for help or don't tell our business. You know, people even look at you differently if they think you need help. What is wrong with us? Because we, you know, I've seen it. You need help? What'd you do wrong? What are you not doing right? You mismanaging your money. You doing something. And maybe they did. And maybe they don't know how to budget. Maybe they've never been taught. Maybe they don't know how to say no. Because there's people in the world like that. Can't say no. Don't feel comfortable saying no. Well, sometimes you got to say no. Maybe they were never taught how to handle their money. And sometimes it's tough love, but that's coming from the body, coming from those that love you. You know, brother, I know that you always seem to be short of money. And you're making, so you say, this kind of money should be enough to pay your rent and your car note and your insurance. But you know what? These cigarettes you're smoking, how much you spending on those a month? Oh, we don't want nobody getting in that business. You got to borrow money so you can smoke? That's a luxury. I need these cigarettes. Do you really need them? Or do you have a habit that you can't really afford? I remember when I was smoking, when I saw cigarettes start to go toward $1 a pack, I can't see myself paying $1 a pack for a pack of cigarettes. This is how long ago I quit, because I know that they're up there now. I'm like, good grief, how could somebody pay this amount for a pack of cigarettes? Much less for a carton. It's a bill. You imagine if you weren't paying that amount of money for cigarettes, what else you would have left over? That was one of the reasons that I quit. I was like, that's going to be too much. $20, you know, I was smoking a pack a day at that time, a pack of cigarettes a day. You know, a dollar. A pack a day, that was like $5 a week. Go buy a carton or whatever. I said, you know, I'm looking at the cost over time. I'm like, I don't want to give up that kind of money over time for this, and it's killing me too, to follow the temple. So I let it go. I had to, but I, trust me, I was hooked. I needed the help of the Most High. Could not do it on my own. And I know that I know that I fear him. Not a fiend thing, because I made the promise to him, hey, you let me go 3 days, I will never pick up a cigarette again. You let me go 3 days, I ain't never picked up a cigarette again. And I see people going and buying cigarettes. I'm like, I don't even know how much they cost, because, you know, at whatever it was a pack, ridiculous to me. If it's over a dollar, it was ridiculous. That's for me. But I know how much money I've saved. I know, you know, I ain't got a budget for that. I ain't got a budget. Oh, let me take out $80 or $100 for this pack of cigarettes, for these smokes that I need, or for this alcohol. Don't have those types of worries. Spend it on other things, whether on the kingdom or on somebody else. Because they were really doing me no good. I'm sitting here, you know, at that time running and hacking and, you know, coughing up all kind of phlegm and all behind these cigarettes. I was like, and then I was getting to the point I didn't even like them. You know, there's one thing when you say, oh, I smoke because I like it. I was smoking and didn't even like it. You know, that's bad. So we have to be better stewards. Hebrews, where did I say we were going? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, Elohim is well pleased. You know, one of the things when you're on the job, one of the things they say they want you to do is communicate. One of the things we typically, because we don't want nobody in our business, we don't want to tell nobody nothing. You know, we only want to tell people what we want them to know. We don't really communicate well. That's what I wanted you to know, but that wasn't really what the whole situation was about. And had I known that the whole situation was about that, maybe I would not have gotten involved. But you told me just enough to get me involved. So now, when I call you, you don't want to answer. Or you don't want to call me. Because you gave me half the story. But the Most High said to communicate, forget not. Don't be hidden. If you come with it, if I come to you with it, I'm not going to be hidden. You ought not be hidden either. We ought not be hidden with each other. Why? For with such sacrifices, Elohim is well pleased. To be hidden in a lot of ways, a lot of times, is deception, or it's an unspoken lie. I didn't tell you to lie, but I just didn't tell you. Yeah, but, you know, the truth is that we're going to be lying. When we are not hidden, when we can be open with one another, no matter how it's going to come out. The Most High is well pleased with that kind of communication. You can be well pleased with yourself, and I can be well pleased with myself, because we're not hidden. We're honest and we're open. And yeah, no, I don't like what you're doing. Okay. If it's sin, then we got a problem. If it's not sin, okay, then well, that's your business. I need some help. Well, I might be able to help. I might not. No, I don't think I want to get involved with that. Okay, I guess I have to find somebody else. But at least it's open and honest communication. Not hidden, not being deceptive. When we're doing that, the Most High is not pleased with it. He says he's not pleased with it. He's well pleased when we communicate. Sometimes you got to sacrifice your feelings. Sometimes you got to sacrifice your pride. But don't come to your brother or sister and be deceptive. Have some integrity. The book of James, chapter 2. The book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Your faith alone, without good works, is nothing. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, they starving. They don't get to eat every day. You know, there's some people out here that actually eat dog food, cat food. That's what their budget allows for. Dog food and cat food. Cans of dog food, cans of cat food. And that's what their budget allows for. Some people don't have that. Some people intentionally don't provide the level of sustenance that their family needs because something is wrong in them. Oh, you don't need that. You're just being gluttonous. No, we are hungry. The Most High don't want us to be that way. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be ye warm and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? What good did you just do? Yeah, I see you're hungry and you're naked, probably not literally, but, you know, it's 40 degrees out there. I see you don't have a coat. I know you're cold. Be blessed. And you don't take care of their needs. And you got it within you to do. Then he says, and your faith is dead. It's dead. It's empty. You know, I used to have this habit of when I was going to get rid of furniture, like beds or whatever, you know, that. And I knew people who were less than. And the beds wouldn't be that old. They wouldn't be all dirty and, you know, used up and, you know, filthy. And my wife used to say, well, why don't you just sell it? I said, no, I don't feel comfortable selling. I just give it to these people. They have a need. I'll just give it to them. I don't need it anymore. We don't need it anymore. Let's just give it to them. And she used to think we should sell it. I said, nah, it's not my way. It's not what I've ever done since I've been grown. If it's something that I have and it still has value to it, but I don't want it, I don't want to go on eBay and say, let me sell this or let me see if I can make some money back off of it. I've always found somebody in need and just given it to them. And, you know, she thought I was crazy for that. I said, you know, that little bit of money we're going to make back, I don't need that. We don't need it. And these people don't have the money. So just give it to them. And call it a day. That has always been the way that I've been. But everybody ain't that way, and I know that. Because I have things that I could sell. But I would never sell them. I would give them away before I sold them. I have to say this. When I was in the computer business, had hundreds of computers. Some of them old, some of them not so old. Because it was the business that I was in. And then you know what? It was just cluttering up the place. And could I have sold it? Some of it I did sell. The vast majority of it, I put it on the curb. Whoever came and got it, just came and got it. And it wouldn't last out there. Because people ride around. All these computers? Yep. And they would just take them. And I'd be like, my wife would be looking out the window. She's like, they're taking all the computers. I said, that's why I put them out there for them to take them. It's just cluttering up here. They're laying around. If I just keep them around, they're just laying around getting older and older. And I'm not trying to make a profit off of it. So if somebody comes by and they need it, they can have it. Somebody needs clothes. Take it to Goodwill. Take it to somebody already doing that work. I would love to get into that kind of business where, we're taking hand-me-downs or whatever and giving it to the poor, really giving it to the poor, not selling it to them, but giving it to them here. Just come in and look through the stuff, whatever fits you. No matter what the value is. Just let them take it. You probably have to watch and make sure that some of them ain't being just, greedy or whatever. Put a limit on it per day, but those that are truly, truly in need. So faith, if it has not worked, it is dead. What time we got? 6:55. I got two more verses to go through. 1 Peter chapter 4, the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 10, we'll get verses 10 and 11. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of Elohim. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of Elohim. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which Elohim giveth, that Elohim in all things may be glorified through Christ Jesus, through Yeshua HaMashiach, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. If you receive a gift, even so minister the same one to another. See, we are supposed to be looking out one to another. That's why I said, I realized, God says, if I bless you with this kind of money, are you going to bless others? Yes, I'm going to bless others. I'm not going to consume it on myself. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let my family do it. Because the scripture says, the Most High, I fear him. I'm a blessing like man. Trust me, Most High, I don't play the lot. So we ain't gonna never, through me, we ain't gonna never win the lottery because I don't play the lottery. But if the Most High causes somebody to say, hey, the Most High put it on my heart to bless you with this. Trust me, he has blessed us all, whoever it is. If it's a business, they have blessed us all. And he'll put the means in place so that we understand that and can see it. I don't want it to just be just words. Lead by example. So I can't ask you to do something that, first of all, you probably have not seen me do. But we're going to see it, trust me. In 1 John, last but not least, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Hereby perceive we the love of Elohim, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Can we hear that? But whoso has the world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of Elohim in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I pray something was said to us this evening, this morning, yesterday, concerning this pure religion, that we come to it from the standpoint of the Most High, that we use him as the standard. This is what he wants. This is how he says we should serve. This is what's important to him. We want to be pleasing to our Elohim. So we have to come this way. We want to make it to where organizationally, as a body, again, to do these things, to practice pure religion as a body, so we can say, so you can be proud of what you do. And if you, you know, you by yourself and I by myself couldn't feed 10,000 people, but maybe together as a body we can. Maybe if we partner with other organizations, we can do these things that the Most High wants done. So I pray that we're able to hear this and that we're able to be encouraged, understand, above everything else, let the fear of Elohim be your motivation. Understand this is what pleases him, and if he's not pleased, how is it going to turn out for us? Do you have fear of how it's going to turn out for you? Fear of how it's going to turn out for me if I don't do these things. Because I know that I would not have been pleasing to the Most High Elohim. How can I go to him and say, bless me, let me in. When I had a chance, everything you gave me, I consumed it on myself. Yeah, I helped a few people here and there, but for the most part, I just consumed it. I just used it on myself. I used it on my family. My family's going to have what they have, what they need. They're going to have sufficient. Yah has made me make sure of that. Not that I'm going to just take everything from my family and say, oh well. No. Then I would be a foolish man. That's not what Yah is going to do. The trust, what he is going to do, is allow out of my abundance to do these things for some, and as a body to do them for more. And if we can become focused, then we can change neighborhoods. We can change communities. We can change people's perception of the Most High. Like I said, I can't understand how people, how the Black Panther Party can get people to do what they're doing, and they will get all behind it, and they will be, we're going to live this type of lifestyle. And then when it comes to us and the Most High, we got a problem. We're struggling with sin. But if we were a member of this party, because we're trying to please men, I guess, oh, no, I'm not doing that stuff. And, brother, you know, we got brothers in the force and against other brothers. Oh, yeah, we're going to hold you accountable. But when it comes to the kingdom of the Most High, we can't do this. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. That being said, let's bow our heads real quick. Father Yah, Father, we just want to be pleasing. We want to be motivated by our fear of you, Elohim. We understand. We know. We are accountable. Give us encouragement. Show us signs in our lives. Bless us in such ways that we can do for others out of our abundance. Let us be a sign to the world that, yeah, you are alive and well, and that there are those that are willing to do your will with all their hearts, that are willing to look out for their brethren, looking out for others' wealth, others' well-being. This is what you have called us to, Father, and I accept the mission. I can't speak for everybody else. They have to accept it themselves. But I accept it, Father. I just want to be pleasing in your eyes. I want to make it into the kingdom. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I really want to rule with you, but if that be not your will, Father, then just help me to be a good servant in your kingdom, wherever you put me. Father, bless each and every person on the line, whether they are listening online, whether they're listening on the phone. Bless each and every person that downloads this message and listens to it, Father, that they get the fear of you and the motivation from the fear of you, that they can put down all these foolish things that keep us out of your will. Let them love you and fear you more than they love or fear these other things. It is just that simple, Father. That's my simple request to you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray and ask for these things. Amen and amen. Remember tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock a.m., check your emails tonight. If you're able to print off the documents, print them off. If you need to use them or want to use them, use them. If you don't, you know, have a notepad as a minimum, notebook and pen and paper, but you can participate, that you can keep track of what you're saying and doing, and maybe come to some truth about yourself that you may not have known. Yeah, I really want us to hear that we can do the ministry, that we can help others. We're going to be looking at the children. We're going to be looking at the children in the scripture. If you have children, grandchildren, invite them, because you know what? They need to start learning at some point. They need to start learning at some point. And you know, it's bad when your children start holding you accountable. Especially if you, the type, do as I say and not as I do. We don't want to be hypocritical even with our own children and our grandchildren. But we want to be that foundation and that rock, that column that's holding up things, that's encouraging. So, Father, as we go our separate ways tonight, encamp your angels around each one of your saints. Keep them safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but Yah loves you more. Shalom, family.
Forever, sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion.
So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said to teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah.